Will you bow your heads with me as we seek the Lord's throne and His presence today? Almighty Father in heaven, we are here today because You've touched us. And Lord, we're here because we want You to touch our hearts again. As we open Your Word, we cannot do that without asking Your Holy Spirit to be here, to give us understanding, to help us understand the mysteries of life in the past and the future, and the time we live in the present. So speak to us now, Lord, for this is our prayer. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen. My high school world was flipping upside down. Everything was changing. We had been a pack of friends for 3 solid years. Troy, Ken, Jeremy, Nathan, and me. We hung out together all through middle school, sat in classes together, joked around, probably more than we should have. We had sleepovers, birthday parties, we liked the same bands, we liked the same shows. We were tight. But then we moved from middle school to high school, and we entered this new world together, with nothing to worry about, because we were solid. Or so I thought. Just a few months into our freshman year, Troy, Ken, and Jeremy decided that they didn't want Nathan in our group anymore. They decided they didn't want to be friends with him anymore, and they actually planned an event to reveal this to him and to kick him out. I still remember the look on Nathan's face. I can't forget it. That look of rejection, of feeling betrayed by his best friends and left unwanted. I can't forget that look. But what would I do? They didn't share their plans with me. So who would I stand by now that my group of 5 had splintered? Would I throw my hat in with Nathan, who didn't have anyone there at high school? Or would I stay with the others? It came to head the next day at lunchtime. We 5 always sat together, but as I walked into the cafeteria, I saw Nathan sitting alone at our usual table, and the others sitting in a different spot. So what about me? Where would I sit? Where would I make my stand? The beginning of high school. Well, there was another group of youth who had to decide where they would stand. Only their decision had deeper ramifications than mine. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, or click on your iPad and find Daniel in there. As we begin this series, it's going to be a 10-part series on the book of Daniel. We're going to walk through this book, and I've been told that if you'd like to make an order of the DVDs, you can order that today. Hopefully, the Lord will bless, and they'll be worth watching. But as we begin this story, and we look in the book of Daniel, let's try to figure out where we will make our stand. Daniel is a book about conflict. It's one of the major themes you can see in every chapter of the book is conflict. And we'll begin in Daniel 1, verse 1. It says, in the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Right off the bat, we see conflict, a national conflict between Judah and Babylon. King versus king. But Daniel doesn't go into a whole lot of detail of that war. He passes over it in a second. Because this conflict in the book of Daniel goes beyond kings, and it goes beyond nations. And we get a hint of that even in the very first verse, because it mentions Jerusalem and Babylon. And throughout the Bible, those two cities symbolize this conflict that we find in this entire book, this conflict of good versus evil. The book of Daniel begins by letting us know that this is going to be not just a warring of nations, but a cosmic conflict that we will see throughout the story. In verse 2, we find Babylon being called Shinar. And it was last called that in the Bible all the way back in Genesis chapter 11. In the story of the Tower of Babel. Again, Daniel is beginning, letting his readers know that this conflict goes all the way back to the start of things. This is going to have far-reaching cosmic connections. And yet, even though this conflict is cosmic in Daniel, and it's national, but it's also personal, too. We're going to learn as we read this story that this cosmic battle of choices, of good versus evil, is fought in our everyday lives, in our everyday choices. In verse 2, it reads, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, Nebuchadnezzar's hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure of his God." Little unexpected twist right here in the Bible. God gives him over. God's supposed to be on the side of Judah, amen? And yet he's giving Judah to Nebuchadnezzar. He gives the artifacts from the temple, the holy sanctuary, carried away as plunders of war and spoils, which should cause us to look at this and say, what is going on here? Has God switched sides? Has God left his people? What does Daniel want us to learn from the start of this story? Well, right off the bat, we catch from this book of Daniel that God is in control, even in the midst of conflict. Amen? Amen. Even when your world seems to be upside down, God is in control. This victory by Babylon was predicted by God years before by the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah. So this wasn't God being defeated. This was God dealing with the failure of his people. And God works in the midst of our failures, amen? I praise the Lord for that, otherwise I'm in the wrong business. He can work even in the midst of our failures. But we're going to see in this book that there is hope even on our darkest day. Well, now, every good book about conflict has to have a hero, right? And we have a hero here in this book. Nebuchadnezzar takes the very best and the brightest of Judah. And this is what you would do if you were trying to make one of the nations or states that you defeated. You want to make them weaker and make yourself stronger. You take the best from there and bring them to your home, to your capital. So he takes these guys. They're not just the really strong ones. They're not just the really good-looking ones, but they are. Daniel's one of the few guys we know in the Bible who was a handsome dude. I can relate. What are you all laughing about? No, it says, it goes through the point of mentioning that he was strong, healthy, good-looking, and smart, too. He was, ladies, the total package. Except he went to Babylon, and he was with the eunuchs there. So the Bible doesn't tell us exactly, but he may have lost a lot when he went to Babylon. So there he is. The young men are going to go there, and they're going to be trained in the best schools, in the Babylonian schools. He's going to work for the king. He's taught astronomy and astrology. He's going to learn to be a magi, a wise man. So instead of working in a slave mine, he gets to eat from the king's table, the best food in the land, and Daniel and his friends have access to it. Not too bad, right? If you're going to be defeated and you're going to have to go somewhere else to be able to eat from the king's table, that's okay. Well, not if you're Daniel and his friends. This is actually a big problem for these boys. They're offered meat and wine. And the Bible says in verse 5 that the king appointed or he determined for them the food that they were going to eat. And sometimes we don't catch these things in the Bible, but that verb for appointed or determined, that verb is only used in the Bible with God as the subject. Except for right here. So Daniel is using it to say, this is the king trying to take God's place in our lives. He's appointing the food that we're going to eat. The next problem that he has here is that the food would not be according to the Bible guidelines of what was clean and okay to eat. Probably unclean meats there on the table, probably prepared in an unclean method, and most likely offered to an idol along the way. The trifecta of uncleanness that they're dealing with. And the even bigger issue here is that connotation of meat and wine actually probably alludes to ritual worship that was taking place. And the Babylonians viewed their king as almost a god. So to eat his food that he appointed to you was in many aspects a way to worship the king and become assimilated, to lose their roots. And then right when this is beginning, they're offered new foods, and not only that, but they're given new names. Before in the story, it talks about how Daniel deals with this food issue. There's a little break in here, and we find a name change. Now, how many of you growing up wanted to change your name? And you thought, I'd love to be called, or maybe you told other people, hey, call me this. I wanted to change that name that was given. Well, it happened to Daniel and his friends. Daniel, whose name means my God is judge, his name is changed to Belteshazzar, which means may the goddess Belet protect the king. The other guys had their names changed too. Hananiah's name becomes Shadrach. Mishael becomes Meshach. And Azariah, Abednego. These young men, and remember how old they are. They're youth right now, teenagers. And they get a new name. Their names are changed from glorifying God to names that actually glorified the Babylonian gods. And we find a little play on words here. Daniel is a wonderful book, even linguistically. And in verse 7, you'll find the chief of the eunuchs. It says, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. And our translations are excellent, but sometimes by picking the different words they use to make sense to us, they actually cover up something that the author was trying to get you to see. In verse 7, the chief of the eunuchs gave names to them. And then in verse 8, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart. Those verbs gave and purposed, in the original language, same verb. It says the chief of the eunuchs put names on them, new names on them. But then Daniel puts in his heart that he's not going to eat the king's food. There's a little play on words there, connecting this name change to the food issue. So, what do you think? Was this an easy choice for these boys? Remember, they've been exiled to a foreign land. They've left home. Mom and dad aren't around anymore to guide them in the decisions that they should make. There's no teacher, no scribe of the law to help them decide what to do in this dilemma. And now here they are in a foreign land. They weren't killed. They weren't made a slave. They're able to eat the best food of Babylon and go to the best schools. Just don't make waves, right? Just get along with the program. Well, there's one skill that all human beings possess. Whether we're living in ancient Babylon or living in Lincoln in 2012, it's the skill of rationalization. We have the ability to talk ourselves into just about anything. Picture back to when you were a kid and maybe mom and dad were having company over that night, and so mom made some treats, and there they sit on the table. Plate of cookies, and she says, hey, these cookies are for company. And then she goes off to do her cleaning. And then you sit there looking at the cookies like all of you are looking longingly right now. And you think, well, she told me they were for company, but she didn't literally tell me that I'm not supposed to eat them. And so we wander over. Or maybe think of being an adult today, and there's a plate of cookies on the table, and you're full. You've had a good meal. You're not hungry at all, and yet those cookies sit there. And maybe one's just fine, you know, just to kind of satisfy that sweet tooth. So you get one cookie, you start eating, and you think, oh, I need some milk to wash this down. So you get some milk, you eat the cookie, and the cookie's gone, and you think, oh, dear, I've got leftover milk. So you go over and you get another cookie and you eat that, and oh, you run out of milk. I better get more milk for the rest of this cookie. And so you get the, you drink, and the cookie's gone. Oh, no. Need more milk again. Pretty soon, what happened to the plate of cookies? And you were full, weren't you? We do it, don't we? We talk ourselves into things. Could Daniel and his friends have done that? Hey, guys, we got to get along here. I mean, when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians. We don't want to be rude. I mean, after all, it's just literally food, no big deal. And if we go along with it, we'll be able to have influence over the king, right? If we don't make waves, we'll be able to think of the influence we could have on this country if we just go along with things. It's easy to do, isn't it? But not for Daniel. Because Daniel and his friends, it's more than just food for them. They tie the food in with the name change and in with their connection with God. And they say, if we do this, it's going to be compromise. We are going to lose our Hebrew roots. We're going to be letting go of God. They can change our names, but they can't change our allegiance. See, generations in society, we define ourselves by the clothes we wear, by the music we listen to, and by the food we eat. And over the generations, clothes change. You don't believe me? Just look back to your high school picture and wince. And over generations, our music changes too. But one thing that stays constant, for the most part, is the food we eat. The meals you make are the meals that mom and dad made growing up. So they realized that if they let go of their names that glorify God, if they start eating this food, it would be accepting the king as their God. And Daniel says no. Daniel and his friends choose to stand up to an entire society, to an entire foreign religion. Now, folks, sometimes we miss this scene. We've got this beautiful scene here in Daniel of bonding and friendship. Friends standing together against everything because we get so focused on statues and beasts and horns and stuff. But we don't miss this little group of friends who stuck together come what may. God is still looking for people who are willing to take a stand for Him. Amen? Now, it's not too shocking to find youth who are willing to rebel against authority. Nothing new about that. But this isn't just cutting up in class. This isn't just pushing past the curfew. Their lives could be forfeit by this decision. In fact, when they bring it up to Ashpenaz, he says, wait a second, man, I could lose my head over this. So messing around in the king's court is not where you would be doing if you're looking to have retirement someday. They decide, we're going to do this. Daniel chooses to remain holy, but his holiness does not get in the way of his humanness. I want you to catch that in the story. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 12. Listen to what Daniel says. Please, test your servants for 10 days. Let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. He asks for a test. Give us a test to just eat vegetables for 10 days and water. Daniel and his friends are diplomatic. They're not just rebellious, crossing their arms, stomping their foot. We ain't eating it. He asks for a test. My teenage friends who are hearing my voice right now, there are ways to approach your parents and those in authority to get what you want. And there are ways to go to war over the smallest little thing. But for all of us who are desiring to follow God, being holy does not mean we have to lose our connection with humanity. We must make sure that as we present our choices in following God and in holiness, we don't alienate others. And Daniel doesn't do that here. He doesn't make it so that Ashpenaz has a hard decision. He gives him an alternative. So what's the result of this 10-day test? In verse 15, it says that they looked better than all the others that are there. Can you say amen? 10 days. How is that possible? I mean, is 10 days literally long enough to notice a physical change in someone? Or was it God intervening? Is this a miracle? Well, we're going to find tons of miracles in the story of Daniel. And we know that God is already working because it begins by saying God gave them over to the king. And then in verse 9, we find out that God helps Aspenaz to like Daniel. But this change in appearance, it could have been a miracle. Certainly could have been. But it doesn't have to be. Because it is possible that this change of diet showed a visible change in just 10 days. Now maybe you're thinking, Pastor, you're not a doctor or a nurse. How do you know this stuff? 10 days is not long enough to notice someone looking different or better than the others. Well, you've got to remember the context of the story. Daniel and the others, before they get here to Babylon, they're in Jerusalem. And what was going on in Jerusalem? They were under siege. So you think they were eating real good when they were over there? Or is maybe food kind of scarce? And then the city falls. And now they have to come to Babylon. After being under the siege, now they have to go from over here. Where are you? Over here in Jerusalem, they got to get all the way over here. Only they didn't cut straight across. They kind of went up and down. It's a bit of a journey. How'd they get there? You think they hopped on an airplane and just zipped over there? Is that how they got there? Maybe they didn't have airplanes, Pastor. They got on a bus, you know, a school bus, and just took a field trip over to Babylon. No, they didn't even ride in chariots there. And remember, they're defeated. Exiles. They walked in chains from Jerusalem to Babylon. You think they were well fed along the way? Probably not. And how long would it take for this army to move all these captives from Jerusalem to Babylon? Well, walking along at a pace where people can walk who are dehydrated, malnourished, it probably took them about 5 months to get there. We sometimes lose the time when we read the Bible. 5 months to get there. And what type of area are they walking through? Desert, wilderness. They arrive in Babylon after 5 months, malnourished, dehydrated. So what's the best type of food to eat and liquid to drink if you're malnourished and dehydrated? Water. Because what does wine do? It's a diuretic. It helps you not retain water. And eating vegetables, what are they mainly made out of? Water. Minerals, nutrients. That's the best thing they could have eaten. So is it enough? Yeah. In the condition they were, 10 days of eating that diet, they said, whoa, look at these guys. They look great. The rest of them still look haggard and worn and wow. So what's the result of all this? Verse 18, it says, now at the end of the days when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar interviews the boys. Look at verse 19 with me. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Did you notice something there? Let me read it again. None was like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Which names are used here in Daniel 1? Their Hebrew names are used. That was what the whole issue was over. Are we going to lose our Hebrew roots? Or will we take a stand and choose to follow God? And at the end of those 3 years of study, Daniel says we were still with God. We were still on his side. And God blesses their faithfulness. They become smarter than all the wise men. So, folks, does God care about our health? Amen, he does. He doesn't want us to live in sickness. And in just a couple months, we're going to have a very special program here, the CHIP program, which is a program about healthy living, about choices. And we're doing this program because God loves you. Amen. He wants you and me to be happy. And he knows we're not happy if we're sick. Is that true? Ladies, is your husband fun to be around when he's feeling sick? You're all smiling right now, right? And guys, what about when she's sick? They say it never happens. We don't know. Because You're not pleasant when you're sick. God cares about you, even your health. And we see that here, the beginning of Daniel. This program that we're going to do in the month of October teaches us ways to be in good health. And God will bless us. This opening story in Daniel introduces the theme of conflict. And we learn that this conflict is more than just warring nations. This conflict is cosmic proportions of good versus evil. But this conflict is also fought down on the personal, intimate level of humans' choices. Remember, the entire conflict on our planet began with the choice of what food to eat. This cosmic conflict reaches down to our choices. It's more than just food, amen? It's more than just the names that people call us. We have to decide, will we choose to stand on God's side, even when all hope is lost? Because they walked from Jerusalem to Babylon wondering what happened to God. And yet they decided, we're still going to be faithful, even in the dark. Even when it seems like God is not with us, will we choose to follow God? Daniel is an ancient book. It's been studied throughout the generations by the major religions. It speaks to Jews, to Gentiles, to Christians, Muslims, believers, and even pagans. This book speaks to. And it still speaks to us, living in these days of Earth's history. Will we choose to stand on God's side? Well, I walked into the cafeteria with a sense of dread. My apprehensiveness had nothing to do with the mystery meat of the day on the menu. I looked over at my friends, Ken, Troy, and Jeremy, sitting at that new table. I smiled at him and I nodded. Then my eyes wandered over to the normal table where we always sat. And I saw Nathan sitting alone. And I made my choice. He will not sit alone. And I went and sat with Nathan. He was still my friend, no matter what others thought. I remained friends with the other guys, but I made my stand with Nathan. Even if it was an unpopular decision, even if no one else was with me, I made my stand. And Nathan became my best friend. All through high school, all through college, we stood side by side no matter what came against us. We were like blood brothers. He even stood beside me when I said my I do's on my wedding day. Now, we haven't seen each other in a long time. We don't talk every day. We don't even believe the same thing about God. He's my oldest friend, and he's an atheist, but he's my friend. And I know if I called him, if I really needed him, if I picked up the phone and called him, he would be at my side. Because it all comes down to our choices, no matter how old or how young we are. Even the little things in life can have great significance. Amen? Who will we stand beside today, my friends? Will we take a stand for God in the workplace? Or will we take a stand for God in how we study at school and in our classes? Will we take a stand for God in our health? Or in how we treat strangers that we meet on the street? Will we take a stand for God in how we treat our spouse, our families, and our children? Where will we stand? For the day will come when taking a stand for God will no longer be popular. The day will come in our individual lives and in the world when the majority will not choose God. And when that day comes, where will we stand? Will we compromise? Well, my friends, if we've been compromising all along the way, it'll be very easy to compromise on that day. But if we're choosing to take a stand for God right now, in the easy time, we'll be able to choose Him come what may? Will we make our stand with the one who chose to stand by us on the cross of Calvary? My friends, let us determine in our hearts to be just like Daniel and to stand with Jesus Christ. Let us decide today, though the nations crumble, though I lose all, I will stand with God. Let us decide in our hearts to follow Jesus all the way. Will you pray with me now? Almighty Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for caring about young boys lost and alone, far away from home. Thank you for standing with them, Lord, as they chose to stand with you. Thank you, Lord, for caring about people who live right here in the Midwest of the United States of America. Thank you for caring about our lives and the decisions that we make each and every day. Lord, help us to be like those brave boys. Help us to choose you in our lives, in everything we do. Help us to follow you, Lord. Though the world fall down around us, may we follow you. Decide to follow you all the way is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God is still looking for Daniels, for Azariah's, for Mishael's, and Abednego's. He's still looking for 7-year-old Daniels, for 15-year-old Daniels, for 50-year-old Daniel. So how about you today? Before we pray our prayer of dedication, if right now you've decided to follow God, don't worry about anyone around you. Just raise your hand to God right now and say, I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow come what may, and I'm going to start following today. Let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we can raise our hands to you today. Because so long ago, you made the choice to stand beside us. You made the choice to stand in front of us, Lord, to take every arrow shot our way when you went to the cross. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of Daniel and his friends. We thank you, Lord, that because of their witness, we too can be inspired to take a stand for you. So help us to follow you, Lord. Though no one go with us, help us to follow and to go find someone else and ask them, will you follow too? Thank you, Lord, for calling us to this moment in time. Help us to take a stand for you today. And all those willing to take a stand for Jesus said, amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful Sabbath.